Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real Madrid 0, Barcelona 4 is how it finishes at the Santiago Bernabeu. A dream for Barca fans, an absolute nightmare, meanwhile, for Real Madrid. The league leaders absolutely falling apart. And then some, 4-0, a scoreline which flatters Real Madrid. It could have been so much worse for the hosts. In a game that will live long in the memory for Barcelona fans, for Real Madrid supporters, they'll want to forget it and forget it quick. Ali, I don't think many saw this coming.
No, you could see a Barcelona win. We had discussed that as a possibility, and certainly with the absence of Benzema, it seemed more likely. But not this. Not this destruction. Not this. Not this humiliation. Not this from Barcelona in terms of how good they were offensively. But you have to say, before we talk about Barcelona, Real Madrid, embarrassing. Not showing up for El Clásico. And we have talked about the importance and the historical importance of El Clásico and what it means to these players and what it means to these clubs. And part of the conversation coming into the game was, you know, Real Madrid could accept a defeat against Barcelona simply because of where they are and the fact that they're able to lose some points and still be comfortable top of the table. But you're not willing to accept this. If you're a Real Madrid fan and you accept this and this is something that you can live with, forget it. This is not acceptable from the player's perspective. It's not acceptable from the club's perspective.
Now, let's take you through exactly what happened then at the Santiago Bernabeu. No Karim Benzema in the starting 11. Real Madrid playing in black to commemorate 120 years of the club. 11 minutes in, Real Madrid wanted punishment towards Aubameyang. Didn't get any.
And Aubameyang is late, he comes over the top of the ball. There is certainly a contact there. Should have been at least a yellow card for Aubameyang.
Slowly but surely, Barcelona would start to really dominate the first half and they would get their reward in the 29th minute. Dembele given the start once again. Nacho left chasing shadows. And it's Aubameyang there who makes it 1-0.
And if you're Nacho, you're going to get tight. If not, then you drop off. But this in-between that he's doing defensively, he has no chance here. Change of pace, and see you later. You're not catching up. And then defensively, Alaba's got to get a touch on it, and your post, he does not. Aubameyang flashes across Eder Militao with a great header to the far post. 1-0 Barcelona.
Militao and Alaba would have games to forget. And this was the scene in Miami at a watch party. Boy, they would certainly enjoy themselves, or certainly the Barcelona half of the supporters group there. For Real Madrid, well, we're like, right, it's time then, without Benzema, for Vinicius Jr. really to step up. He did the opposite. He fell down.
It's that first touch that gets away from Vinicius Jr. And at that point, he's trying to draw a penalty. And then, I know a dive when I see one. 100% a dive from Vinicius Jr. He's looking for a contact. He never gets it. Good non-call by the referee.
Moments later, at the other end, it's simple. Dembele with the ball in, Araujo with a header.
And he's jumping in between Alaba and Eder Militao. You're two center backs if you're Real Madrid, and this is unacceptable. They're flat-footed. Nobody attacks the ball. There's only one player attacking the ball, and that's Ronald Araujo. Over the head of Alaba, in front of Militao, pass Courtois, 2-0.
Back to Miami. The baby's trying to sleep. Calm down.
What?
More from them later on. Let's take it to you think, right, Real Madrid, keep it tight, solidify things.
Yeah.
But then what a miss this is from Ferran Torres.
15 seconds into the half, and you see that from Real Madrid.
And then more messing about at the back. Alaba diving in, just horrendous schoolboy stuff. Lovely assist from Aubameyang, and Torres ain't missing that.
It's just beautiful from Barcelona's perspective. Yes, there are mistakes everywhere from Real Madrid, but then the quality of Barcelona taking over. How late Alaba is on the challenge. How late Militao is on the challenge as well. He goes down, and then the little filthy back heel here from Aubameyang. The finish, clean finish that we didn't see before from Ferran Torres. You see it now. 3-0.
3-0. Back to Miami we go.
Hey!
Yes!
They might as well stay up because it's coming quick.
They certainly are. And then long ball forward. Barca getting behind once again. Now remember, this was flagged offside initially. But no whistle blew, so obviously it gives them the chance to take a look at VAR. They do so, and it's the right call.
Once again, Real Madrid disorganized defensively. We've said that 1,000 times today. Nice little filthy finish from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. They get him behind, and it is 4-0. It's official.
Let's go from Miami to Houston, shall we? See the reaction there. A little bit more, I think, mixed support with Real Madrid and Barcelona fans. This was the way they reacted to the fourth. See, not quite the same vibe, is it?
Yeah.
It was Miami.
It was a little edgy in Miami.
They've let themselves down a little bit, Houston. As I said, 4-0 flatters Real Madrid because Aubameyang here. And this is a number of chances, by the way, that Barcelona created and really should have done better with.
So Ferran Torres a chance, and this should be a hat-trick for Aubameyang. Still 4-0.
And that is how it finished. Barca very much took their foot off the gas in the final half an hour. You felt they wanted to. They could have scored a lot more. They take all 3 points, which, of course, big picture, is good for them regarding the place for the Champions League. They are 4 clear of Real Betis. Real Madrid still 9 points clear at the top of the table. Sevilla dropping points once again today. Could only manage a goalless draw. So where does this victory line up in the history of big victories for Barca against Real Madrid in the past? 5-0 back in 1974. 2009, do you remember that? 6-2. 1926. I don't know if you remember that one in the Copa del Rey.
I wasn't around there.
You can see La Liga there, 4-0, along with November in 2015. Well, let's get some reaction. Pitch side then, shall we? Casey Keller's there, Alexis Nunes, and I imagine a very happy Luis Garcia as well.
Yes, Dan, he indeed is very, very happy. We were just behind the goal, so as usual, his celebrations had to be very, very muffled. But he did have a little Rafa Nadal fist pump, a little vamos here and there. Luis, you really couldn't have asked for better from your former club.
No, not at all. I think it's a fantastic full team performance. I think we cannot point one player or the other because I think they've been all very, very good. I think from the line at the back, Eddie Garcia, Piqué, they've been fantastic. Try to close it up every single time, not allowing the players of Real Madrid getting any chance. Midfield is been great. They're dominating every single moment of the game, just trying to have patience in the beginning because they knew they will have spaces and they will find the right moment to attack. And up front, well, you've seen Dembele. We talked about him a lot. Aubameyang has been clinical. Even he had, could have scored a couple of more goals. And Ferran Torres, even though once again he missed that couple of chances, finally he got the goal. So I think it's been a fantastic performance overall.
Well, we just saw some footage of the Barcelona fans. They are still here, very much at the top, and still full of song and full of voice. The police have told them that they will tell them when it is safe for them indeed to leave the Santiago Bernabeu. But I don't think they're going to mind hanging around for a bit longer. And Casey, we kept saying it through the game too. What a difference a couple of months makes, a new manager makes, a club legend makes, and some pretty, I suppose, good business in the January transfer window makes, because this looks like a completely different Barcelona from the last Clásico.
Absolutely different team. And the way they approached it, I mean, there was that little bit in probably the first 5-10 minutes where Real Madrid had a couple chances. Ter Stegen makes a nice, smart save down to his left. And then from that point on, it was just one-way traffic, and it really was a matter of how many, not if Barcelona was going to win or not. We were expecting a response from Real Madrid in the second half, and that response goes away as soon as that third goal goes in. And at that point, we were, you know, almost touching distance to Courtois, and the body language and the disappointment and just the disbelief of what was coming, you know, his way. And you got to give Xavi just absolute ton of credit for the way he's just transformed this side in such a short period of time. We knew the financials were an issue, but whatever they did in that transfer window and to get the players playing the way they have, Barcelona has to be extremely proud of where they're going.
And, you know, Dan said it when he was reading the highlights that 4-0 almost flatters Real Madrid a little bit, because we were saying we're not safe for Courtois. It could have been a lot uglier in this score, couldn't it have, Luis?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Casey was mentioning, as soon as we have a seat behind the goal of Courtois, yes, I think it was 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Yep. We saw just Ferran Torres just flying to face. I mean, that could have been another one. The first time, another couple. Aubameyang had two more chances. So at the end, it could have been 5-6-0. Then it could have been even more embarrassing.
As well as the couple nice saves that Courtois made in the first half. Yeah. I mean, it truly could have been a 7 or 8 humiliation.
Yeah. It definitely could. The Real Madrid fans, they're leaving the Santiago Bernabeu in a very unhappy state. They actually started leaving from earlier on in the second half, which is something you definitely don't see often, but I think they were resigned to the fact that they didn't really see that fight. They didn't really see that fight back or that quality that they needed to come back against Barcelona. And speaking of fight, in a couple of press conferences and flashes that I've had with Xavi, I've spoken to him about the fight of this Barcelona team ever since he came, and he said, look, if at the end of the season they remember me for one thing, I hope it's that fight, but you do need a bit more. You need an identity. Have we started seeing probably what this Xavi identity is going to be for this new look Barcelona?
I think so. I mean, I think that Xavi, from the first game that he played, he showed that he wanted that very intense team, a lot of work, a lot of runs, a lot of movement, pace on the ball. The ball has to be flying one side to the other side to try to find the players on the wide areas. They are the one who can unbalance any kind of team. And you've seen today Dembele, Ferran Torres, or Adama when he's had the chance. And you could see it from the first minute. Now, of course, they've been working for quite a while. They got the result. They got the confidence to do the things. And you can see that there is less mistakes, a lot better at the back. Everybody knows what he has to do. Even we've seen Dani Alves playing as a holding midfielder for quite a few minutes. So that means that everybody knows what they have to do. And, well, it's a joy to watch.
But we also talked about a Real Madrid midfield that couldn't get the ball back. They couldn't get close enough to get the ball back. And it was almost embarrassing for a little bit how comfortable it was in a Barcelona midfield that was under unbelievable criticism just a couple months ago, to be able to be in that big a control against the side that is going to win the league and is going to win it fairly comfortably. Again, whatever Xavi's done, if he keeps doing it, We could be seeing a side now in a couple of years, if they can get the finances right, get a few more little transfer things right, get a few more of those kids coming through to get more and more comfortable in the side. The Barcelona fans have to be pretty excited from what they're seeing.
Well, speaking of the Barcelona fans, we're being serenaded here still. They're still very much here and singing full of voice. And Luis, just talk to me what this would exactly mean for them, because they've been through probably some of their worst months in the club's history, with how they lost Lionel Messi, how he's left. We know how much he means to the club. And just seeing all the stuff that went on from the administration stage to what they were seeing on the pitch, it was a nightmare. So today, what would it mean to them?
I think it's more a reward of all the work they have been doing, because at the end they have 3 points. They're not going to give you 6 points. They know that the Real Madrid is very far away, even though they're people are still believing that they can have a chance or be at least in the last 4 or 5 games closer to what they are at the moment. They go one game in hand. That could mean they get closer to 9 points. But I think these are reward. They've been working very hard. They struggled for so many months with a lot of problems on the field, a lot of problems around the team. And at the moment, to come here to the Bernabeu, show the way that they have shown to everybody in the world, because everybody's watching here. I think it's a reward for all of them, the players, the club, the supporters, that, like you were saying, they're still singing over there. And, of course, for Xavi, that when he arrived, and there was some people over there, they didn't believe in what they could bring to the team.
Yeah, a lot of people probably thought it was too much too soon for Xavi, but he is definitely working his magic here, and he's worked some magic here tonight at the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu. The Barcelona fans are continuing to sing. They're probably going to start singing to Luis Garcia soon. He drinks sangria, but that's what the Liverpool fans used to sing. But we're going to sit here and soak up every moment.
Alexis, thank you very much. I just want to stick with Luis, because we, of course, saw you hug your former teammate, Sergi Busquets, as you were just on the sidelines here. Did he say, I'll tell you what, you could play against this lot, they're rubbish?
Lovely shot of me there.
He's a funny guy, but I think that they saw the camera. I didn't mention anything, so we were congratulating him for the fantastic game that he had.
Luis, sorry, I just want to ask you something about Lionel Messi. How is he feeling watching this?
I'm sure that he's watching and enjoying from his house, comfortable, and missing a little bit to Don being here at the Bernabeu, having a chance to have the ball. I'm totally sure of that. I would love to be there and on the pitch. So that imagine Messi that he's been on the club for many, many years.
Could they have done this if they kept Messi?
Totally. I mean, having Messi on the field is always an ad. I can tell you straight away, having a player like him, I'm not sure if he will have a play for the whole game at the same rhythm that some of the younger players, but definitely will have made the difference when he had the ball.
I will stop stirring for the moment, but I will continue that. Here.
Outside, he's one that got away.
You're shaking your head.
Well, because I think in losing Messi is a blessing in disguise for Barcelona.
Andy's never going to agree with me about Messi. I know that. I heard him talking.
Go back to Busquets. Hey, we're talking here.
Hold on a second. Are you kidding me?
I know that.
Let us enjoy Ali today, please. Let us enjoy. Don't talk about Messi. Let's talk about all the players here.
I didn't bring him up. Dan brought him up. And all I would say is that the young players that are now flourishing and that we're seeing the full potential coming through, those same young players almost felt the need to have to play the ball to Lionel Messi. They were obligated to play the ball to Lionel Messi instead of them finding their passes and their movement and their place on the field. So we would not be seeing the full performance of some of these players because of the dependence that they've had for many years on Lionel Messi. We are seeing a new team and a new wave of players coming through, and Barcelona is benefiting from it.
You take a look at the goals, Ali. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about Militao and Alaba, you know, developing a fantastic relationship at the back this season, being a part of the reason why Real Madrid are in the position that they are. You could pinpoint every goal and what mistake they made in the lead up to it.
And it's all very clear mistakes. Tight marking in terms of what Nacho does. Are you going to get tight? Are you not going to get tight? If you're not going to get tight, then you got to drop off, because if not, he's going to run by you. Well, he does. Alaba at the near post, he's got to get a touch on this. That's his sole responsibility. And if you're Militao, you got to flash across Aubameyang. Neither one of them does their job. Nacho doesn't do his job. 1-0 Barcelona.
And that's it. And this is too easy, isn't it?
It is. It's service from a corner kick that you see it coming, but there's one player attacking the ball, and that's Ronald Araujo. Alaba doesn't attack the ball. Militao is late once again. Araujo gets in between both Alaba and Militao. You're two center backs, 2-0.
And then you expect everything to be at least tighter in the second half, at least come out and get everything together. This was only, 2 minutes after the break. Barca should have scored previously to this, but they do here.
See, and this is what I consider to be fake effort from Real Madrid. If we had the ability to look at the sliding challenges again, you're looking at a sliding challenge from Alaba that he's never going to get to. So this is like, I'm sliding so that people see that I'm sliding, but I'm never going to get to it. Now I'm out of position. Okay? What does Militao do? Exactly the same thing. I'm going to slide just so that people see that I'm putting in an effort, but I'm never going to get to it. It's irresponsible and it's unacceptable from both players.
And then here again, it's an easy long ball over the top. This comes, of course, from where they thought offside. Everything stops, but you play to the whistle.
Yeah, and it's a continued nightmare for Real Madrid defensively. Alaba has kept them onside. And then who continues to play? Who keeps playing? Barcelona. Casemiro gets his arm up. Okay, he's offside. No, you got to play until somebody blows the whistle. This is juvenile stuff. This is something that you teach kids. And then they're complaining as to, well, the flag went up. No, you got to keep playing. But in order to keep playing, I also have to say about Real Madrid, you have to start to play.
Yeah.
They never started to play. So
me asking them to keep playing well, it's nonsense, because they never were part of this game. There was only one team on the field, and it was from the very beginning. It was so surprising to see Real Madrid so stretched, so disconnected, desperate defending, so many turnovers coming out of the midfield, players with so much experience looking lost. You know what team they reminded me of? PSG.
Wow.
The last 30 minutes of PSG, that's what we saw for nearly 90 minutes from Real Madrid.
Well, in diamond, that is on this Real Madrid side. Also, during commentary, of course, we had Steve McManaman say that Real Madrid were looking so bad, he thinks he could have played for Barcelona and passed it around. And let's not forget, this is a man who turned 50, this year. Let's get some more from Macca and Darkey, shall we, along with Alexis Nunes.
I still look 25 though, still fit as a fiddle, Macca, but he's still playing Saturday against,
funny enough, against Barcelona as well.
But you know what, Macca, honestly, as much as we rate you, it would have still been hard for you to help this Real Madrid today.
Oh yes, the Real Madrid team were woeful today, and you don't want to have anything to do with it. I felt sorry for some of the substitutes coming on, because you knew that there was nothing they could do to lift this team, to get them back into the game, and they'll be remembered for being part of this performance, because this was one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time. Forget the fact that it was in a Clásico, which is worse. It was awful. And, you know, everything that Ali's just been saying, and the boys and yourself have been saying, is probably true. You know, my old captain's there, Fernando Hierro, sorry.
They needed him, yes, but I was
shocked really by the level of performance today, because there was just no cohesiveness, no defending, nobody wanted to win the ball back, and it could have been more, it could have been 6 or 7, and we still would have just accepted it. It was that bad today.
Darkie, you know, we spoke so much yesterday about Karim Benzema and whether they were going to miss him and if they had enough to win without him. Would he have made that much of a difference?
Well, he'd have made a bit of a difference, but not any real difference, I don't think. I mean, this was an absolute battering. I don't really know what Real Madrid were about, what they'd worked on in training with Modric. He looked lost probably for the first time in his career. They were all over the place from beginning to end of that game, and it really should have been about 6 or 7, and Aubameyang should have had a hat-trick. You hope, if you're a Real Madrid fan, that that was a blip and maybe it's a wake-up call for them, but there's a lot of worrying signs there when they've got to play Chelsea in the Champions League.
And then, I mean, we talk so much about this Real Madrid midfield, all the experience that it brings, of course, with the likes of Toni Kroos and Luka Modric now, but are they showing signs that Madrid might need to start planning without them?
Yes, I thought they were showing signs last year of this. They need to start to refresh the squad. They brought Camavinga in, of course, they brought David Alaba in, but they need more. I think if they're going to go and be successful in European football, they're going to need a lot more than they've got. 4, 5, 6, 7 signings. We know Mbappe's coming through the door, but Benzema's 34. Luka Modric is going to be 37 in September. Toni Kroos, Casemiro. You know, Nacho Carvajal have been around for a long, long time. So definitely they need strengthening again.
Macca, you've been in the Real Madrid dressing room. After a defeat like this, given the fact that you're league leaders, you're also going up against a team, your rivals, that have struggled recent times, so you'd think you'd have their card in your pocket. But what would they be thinking now? What's being said?
I don't think a lot will be said. I don't think a lot needs to be said. You'd be embarrassed if it was you personally involved in that performance. So you wouldn't need to be told how bad it was. You would know yourself, and you would be almost scared to go out and see people. You'd be scared to go to the shops because people will be looking down on you because of that performance. Yes, they look as if they're going to win the league, but there's more to it than winning the league. There's winning it with a bit of style, and there's winning it going down like that. Really weak and mild manner today, and it was a real disappointment. I've seen some of the ex-players around, and they were as shocked as me. This performance has just come out of nowhere, considering how they've been playing of late.
Tarki, how does Ancelotti take this?
Badly, of course, but I mean, he's got to just regroup. He'll have had moments like this before in his career. But let's, in all of this big inquest about Real Madrid, let's talk about Barcelona as well. Yeah. That was a magnificent performance from them. Even when they went 4-0 up, there was no easing off on the pedal. They were still looking for that clean sheet. They were determined to get that. They had fire in their eyes. They were still carving out chances. And this was a good news day for Xavi. Whatever he's doing there, it's working. Not just the performance, but the mentality of that team. You'd say, looking at that, they're favourites to walk away and win that Europa League for starters and finish second in La Liga. Yeah.
Has this been Barcelona's best or most complete performance you've seen from them this season?
Oh, this season. without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, it's been one of the most one-sided Clásico. I know they've won five, and when Jose took Madrid and they were beaten easily, but that was in the Camp Nou. The fact that they came here, scored four, could have scored three, four more with chances missed and Courtois making saves. This was as comfortable and as one-sided Clásico that I've seen, because it was the away team who dominated today.
And going into this one, you know, we were kind of questioning, should Xavi and Barcelona dare to dream of top four and other European competitions? Is that something now, after what we've seen today, that should just be their reality? They deserve to be there?
Well, I think there's no question they're going to finish in the top four and be in the Champions League. You'd fancy them for the Europa League as well. And they've got, you know, good youngsters coming through, like Nico Gonzalez, who can't get in the team as yet. So, you know, Aubameyang's made a difference. He's given them a huge difference in dimension of attacking threat. Yeah. They didn't much look like scoring in the first Clásico. They always look like scoring today with his movement. He's a danger man. He knows where chances are going to turn up, and he turns up in the same place.
He's a better centre-forward than Memphis Depay, who plays just off the left, and he's certainly higher quality than Luke de Jong. So with him there and the bench, you see the quality of the bench that came on today as well. The squad looks nice and big and bloated now with talent, doesn't it? And they'll certainly finish second. They're in much better form than Sevilla and Betis. And
Gabby can't get in the team, he's in the full Spain team, so as an example.
What a night at the Santiago Bernabeu. The Barcelona fans, I think, are just being allowed to leave. They're trickling down, but I'm sure the celebrations are going to continue at their own risk, or at least on the train back, we will see, because it might be not wise to run around the streets of Madrid celebrating, but it has been an absolute performance from Barcelona, and as these guys said, easily their best all season. Dan?
Thank you very much, and a big thank you as well to Macca, who I've been told has agreed to put his beers aside and stay late to do extra time.
What?
So we'll be catching up with Macca again in what, an hour's time. Thank you very much for that, Macca.
That is never going to happen, Daniel. Never happening. Never happening.
You know where the extra time's going to be, don't you?
Yes, indeed, my bar in the hotel. I'm not doing it.
Indeed.
Enjoy your extra time, guys. Great job, as always, at the Bernabeu. Much appreciated. A big win for Barcelona. And of course, a big one for Xavi as well. We'll be discussing this a lot more later on in the show. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We now know the lineup for the semi-finals of this year's FA Cup. It will be Chelsea against Crystal Palace. Palace thrashing Everton by 4-0. And the other tie is the little matter of Manchester City against Liverpool. City booking a place after a comfortable victory away against Southampton. Meanwhile, Liverpool left it late to beat Nottingham Forest by 1-0. For more on this, let's welcome Don Hutchinson to the show. Don, you take a look at that draw, and it's all about City and Liverpool. City cruising in the end against Southampton. Liverpool made harder work, obviously, against Nottingham Forest.
Oh, absolutely, Dan. It was a bit of a struggle. It was a proper FA Cup tie. The crowd were incredible. It was pretty intense. Liverpool were just off it. Forest were absolutely brilliant. Created so many good chances. Alisson was pulling off saves like you wouldn't believe. And then Jota gets his 19th of the season. And then once Jurgen Klopp went to the bench and he brought Diaz on and Thiago on and Jordan Henderson, they just about done enough, but it was a bit of a struggle.
I suppose the big story, really, from today's games were Frank Lampard's comments after that thrashing at the back of Crystal Palace, which I thought was quite interesting, Don, where, let's face it, he completely and utterly threw his team under the bus.
Well, what can you do, Dan? You've got to try and get a reaction. I mean, he's tried to look after his team for the last month and a half and they've been playing poorly. And what can you say as a manager when all you've got to do when you play against Everton is score one goal, and then they absolutely capitulate, they fall apart, they throw in four or five goals too easily. So I think he's probably done the right thing. He's probably looking for a reaction. They've got a massive game coming up next in the Premier League, and they've got to make sure that they take something from West Ham. That's not going to be easy. But why they're leaking goals, I know this was the FA Cup, and when they're away from Goodison Park and they go 1-0 down, they fall apart. So he's got to try and get some reaction going because it's tight.
He, of course, used a naughty word to describe it, but he was pretty much kind of trying to sum up and saying that his players were weak. Oh. Once they conceded that first goal, heads went down and they didn't have that desire for a fight. I understand what you're saying. You want a reaction, but it could go the other way. This could backfire, couldn't it, Don?
Should do. I mean, what options do you have, Dan? If you've looked after your players for a good month and a half, 2 months, and you've tried to protect them, and you've looked after them, and you've said the right thing, and you might have a little dressing down inside the dressing room, but externally, when you come out and you speak to the press, you look after your players, and you're still not getting wins, and you're still seeing your team, as soon as they lose that first goal, lose four, lose five like they did against Tottenham, at some point you've got to say to the players, come on, this is on you. I've been here for 5 minutes. You lot have been struggling all season. When are you going to show me that we're going to survive? What gives the fans hope that we're going to survive? And the fans are not daft, Dan, I think, as well. I think if you protected the players after a 4-0 loss and it could have been a lot more, I think fans might have looked at Frank and thought, oh, he's a bit of a soft touch. You know, he's not got any fight. So he's put it on his players and said, come on, let's see what you've got.
Meanwhile, in the Premier League, a big win for Spurs as they took all 3 points in their clash against West Ham, beating them by 3-1. It's a victory that puts them above Manchester United in the league, 3 adrift of Arsenal. Don, that's back-to-back wins for Spurs. That doesn't happen.
Hey, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. The sequence has been broken. It was 8. It was win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. 8 times. And this is back-to-back wins. It's incredible. I mean, now all of a sudden, from absolutely nowhere, we're back-to-back wins. Have now given themselves a serious shot of getting in the top four. One ahead of Man United, I think 3 behind Arsenal. They're putting the pressure on. So while they're flying and when they're scoring goals, you know, there's a serious chance for them. Massive, massive chance for them. I think they've got Newcastle at home next. So it could be 3 on the spin for them.
And what does that mean for their top four hopes, Don?
Back on.
Oh.
Back on, Dan. I mean, that's all we can say until Spurs lose a game and then we'll go, it's not on anymore. But at least now they've stopped the rot. They've stopped that sequence and they've gone back-to-back wins. So now they're looking up thinking, well, all right, we can look at Man United just behind us and 1 or 2 other teams. West Ham will probably just fade away. But now, as I said, they can try and reel in Arsenal.
Yeah, Spurs with that win then. Just a reminder, of course, we'll be discussing that more on ESPN FC throughout the week. Just taking a look then, Spurs currently 3 adrift of Arsenal. You still wouldn't trust them, though, would you, Ali?
Spurs? Have you seen them play? I don't think they trust themselves, but the fact that you get back-to-back results, as Don says, gives a different feel inside that locker room and a different feel for Antonio Conte. And now you almost sense that, okay, this is where we build up. This is where we generate momentum. But you don't want to see yet another negative result come your way, because then that's when you start thinking, maybe we're not good enough.
Thanks, Ali. More from Ali and Don on the latest edition of Extra Time. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Another bad day at the office for PSG, losing against Monaco by 3-0. Gab Marcotti joins us. You just think PSG can't get any lower, and they prove us wrong, Gab.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Look, I mean, I think at this stage, right, when you have a team that they're going to win the Ligue 1 title, they have the season is over. They have nothing to play for. They get abuse. There's almost nothing they can do. I mean, if they play their next game against whatever, Laval or Rennes, or I have no idea who they're playing next, by the way. Even if they score 15, they'll still get booed. The fans are angry. You have to let the anger play out and start over in the summer. And, you know, maybe something that the owners might want to do is maybe start over now. If you are going to make changes at the top, you know, start asking questions. Do we want Leonardo to be in charge of the rebuild? Can we do things better? How do we need to change our strategy? Or you can keep doing what you did before and hope to get different results. You know, get Leonardo to go and bring in more high-priced veterans. You know, get him to bankroll that by selling Parisian talent. You can go ahead and try to do that. But I think right now, you know, the biggest work they can do is behind the scenes.
What do the fans want, Gab?
Well, it's tough to say, right? The fans right now just want to vent. There is obviously a portion of the fans that, you know, they ask themselves, like, wait a minute, we're Paris, right? There is no area in Europe, maybe in the world, that produces as much talent as Paris. Why don't we focus on that? Why don't we focus on using our youth academy rather than just a source of money by selling off talents like Diaby, like Nkunku, and so on, to go and pay for Neymar's wages? Why don't we focus on that? We still have the ownership. We'll get some big signings. And try to go and balance that out. There's some people who want to do that. Other people say, well, there's no point doing anything until Mbappe makes up his mind about whether he wants to stay or go. But I think more broadly, the fans say, we need to start over with different people. I think they realize they're not going to get rid of Nasser at the top of the club because effectively it's his employer who owns it. And because he also controls the TV rights via beIN Sport, he is one of the most powerful figures in the European game. But Leonardo, I'll be very surprised if he's back next season. Pochettino, I'd be even more surprised if he's back next season. Maybe you don't want to sack Pochettino while the season's still going and you're going to win the title. But, you know, Leo, I think you need to take a long, hard look at because you need to start planning for next year. It's already late March.
How much is this damaging Pochettino's stock, Gab? Or is it just, oh, it's PSG, it doesn't really count?
I don't think it's helping. I think what we've discovered about Pochettino, which people already knew, is that if he goes out there, if he has a group of players who are disciplined, who are together for a long time, if he's given time to work, if they're willing to work hard for him, maybe because they're more blue-collar types, then he can do a phenomenal job. And he did a phenomenal job. What he did at Spurs was absolutely remarkable. But, you know, in that context, you've got Son, you've got Harry Kane, you've got Christian Eriksen, you've got people who, you know, if you tell them go run through this wall, they'll run through this wall. Eriksen, maybe not so much. But the other guys, yes. And they'll be disciplined about it. Here, it's different. Here, you get into the mindset, well, I have generational players like Messi and Neymar. You know, I, as a manager, why don't I just let the genius take over? Why don't I get the other guys to go and run for them? And it's a very, very difficult thing to do in the modern game, where I think it's really difficult for superstars to just be superstars. You know, to some degree, they all have to work off the ball. Some managers have a knack for handling them. I think historically, Carlo Ancelotti's done a pretty good job with superstars, balancing them out. I think you saw others be able to do that, Zidane as well. But it's difficult. I mean, look at the way, I mean, Man City and Liverpool have superstars too, right? Mm. Salah is a superstar. De Bruyne is a superstar. But these guys go and run their backsides off. It's very, very difficult to go and not do that in the modern game and tell other people to do the running for Messi and Neymar. Very difficult.
Don has assumed in some quarters that Pochettino will take over at Manchester United. Given what Gab said, making the fair point that obviously at Spurs you've got players who will run for a wall for you, isn't that the whole problem with United at the moment, that they don't have the players that are going to give you that sort of response? And can Pochettino deal with that?
I don't know, is the honest answer, Dan. I don't think anyone does, because I think Gab's right. I think when you look at the job that Pochettino done at Tottenham was actually brilliant, apart from the Champions League final when he buckled and played Harry Kane, who was injured for about 2.5 months, and he threw him straight back in, which wasn't particularly wise. And then you look at the job that he's doing at PSG, you think, well, is all this good work getting sort of undone? You now throw him into a Man United scenario with the shambles that is Man United at boardroom level and a lack of players where, like PSG, they want to put the miles in going forward, but reverse gear is absolutely terrible. So it, to me, it doesn't feel like a fit. The one man they should be going for, which I've said consistently, is Simeone. Now, whether they can get him or not is a whole different argument, but Pochettino in at United, in my opinion, is not really going to change too much.
Thank you very much, guys. A lot more on this on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast, which, as always, drops on Monday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, let's head back, shall we? Whether you like it or not, Real Madrid fans, to that thrashing at the hands of Barcelona, the fourth worst ever result against your Spanish rivals. Let's get some reaction now after the game. Sid Lowe caught up with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But first, Barca's coach, Xavi.
Xavi, you said yesterday that you've got good memories of coming to the Santiago Bernabeu and Clásicos that you played in. How does tonight compare, in particular because of the responsibility that you carry as a coach?
Well, I'm very happy because we played really well. Yes, it's remembered today, many games a long time ago, but we play amazing game. We did really well. We understood really well how to attack, how to defend. We play an amazing game, performance, outstanding performance in defense, in attack, with concentration, with solidarity in defense, and we could have scored much more goals. I think we deserve much more goals, to be honest. So, but I'm very happy. I think it's the moment to enjoy all the supporters, all the fans. It's a very good moment for us. Of course, just 3 points. That is the pity, it's not a final, but maybe it means that we came back today, maybe.
That's very significant, as you say. It's just 3 points, and in terms of the league title, it's probably too late because of the distance that Real Madrid have. But psychologically, emotionally, in terms of reinforcing the idea, this is massive for you, isn't it?
Yes, maybe. Yeah, we are very far to win the competition, the Liga. But okay, we need to believe. We need to continue, keep going like that. This is the way. We show everybody that we are coming back. Today we play an amazing game, and this is the way. We need to continue. Now a good rest, 2 weeks, but we need to finish the season very well. And I'm very proud of the players today. It's a very good moment for enjoying all the supporters for Barca.
I know you're a man who's very committed to your style of play, very committed to the way that Barcelona have always played, and really believes in it. But did tonight surprise you, despite that commitment to this idea? How good it was?
No, it's not a surprise. Of course, we are training really well. All the players, everybody understood that if everybody ran for the team, if everybody sacrificed for the team, but it can happen. So very proud. The players run a lot, work a lot, and they are very good players. So yes, I'm really happy today.
And right now what? You go back to Barcelona, is this a night to celebrate, or is it a night just to kind of relax and calm everybody down, or is it impossible to calm everyone down?
No, celebrate. we are not winning many titles in the past right now, so it's a moment to celebrate, of course, everybody.
Fantastic. Congratulations, Xavi. Thank you. So you got a bit nervous on that goal, didn't you?
Yeah, a bit. A bit. I mean, I was sure that I was not offside. I was just nervous because the ball went like quite high, and I was scared that it touched the post. But at the end, it was a great goal.
So an extraordinary night. Can you try and explain to us what it's like in the dressing room, what the reaction's been like from the players, how you all feel?
Yeah, we feel great for tonight. I think we arrived in the dressing room right now. Everyone was screaming and shouting because we are happy. You know, it's always special to come over here and win. We know it's not easy to come over here and win the game, but we did it. I think it was important to come with confidence and keep playing as we did since a few games. And this is what we did tonight.
One of the things that Xavi keeps talking about is the identity, the way of playing, very much a Barcelona style. Mm-hmm. And in theory, it's a style that's so different to other clubs that it can be difficult to adapt. So why hasn't it been difficult to adapt for you? Why do you seem to have found this so easy?
I think I worked a lot all through my career, and I experienced a few clubs. So I think this helps a lot. But as well, I think when you play with players like our players, I think it's even more easy to come over here and play. But as I said, I worked a lot to be at the level, and I'm just happy, and hopefully I can keep going.
Xavi described this just now when we were talking to him as a historic night. This is a guy that's been here and won 6-2. It's a guy that's beaten Real Madrid 5-0. And he's now referring to a performance from this team, which is a young team and an emerging team, as being on that kind of level. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think he's right. I think it's the beginning of a new era for Barca, and I think this is great for the club. And hopefully we can keep going like this.
You've been here since January. You've already got 7 goals just in La Liga. I know obviously you came confident. You came feeling that if you got time and the opportunities, you would perform well. But have you been a bit surprised with just how good this has gone for you?
To tell the truth, I was expecting to do something good, but definitely it's going even better than I expect. But yeah, I'm just happy. And but yeah, as I said, we work for this. So yeah.
So the last one just before we finish, and tell me about the assist, the little flick. Yeah. Is that something that comes naturally? Is it something that's been prepared? Is it something that suggests that you're actually enjoying it on the pitch?
Yeah, definitely. I'm enjoying a lot playing with players, and you know, I'm a team player. So I heard Ferran, he called me, and I said, okay, I think he's alone. And I was sure he was alone. At the beginning, I was going to shoot. Mm-hmm. But when I hear him, I'm saying, okay, I think he's better placed than me, so I will give him. So yeah, we enjoyed a lot tonight playing this game.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Sid. Great stuff to actually hear people saying things when asked a question. And what that means for Barcelona is that they sit 12 points off Real Madrid at the top of the table. He'll be selling it, won't he, Xavi? He'll be saying, look, keep winning it all and we can still catch them. Of course, now a break, as was mentioned. It's all about now World Cup qualifiers, all of which are available across our ESPN networks. Of course, Portugal, Turkey, Italy, North Macedonia, Sweden, Czech Republic and Wales against Austria. It's those semi-finals then for the final, of course, replacing Qatar next November. Those qualifying also takes place in Africa as well. 5 games for you, some incredible matches. All of these available on ESPN+. Those are over 2 legs, by the way. And that is it. What a day. Brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for everybody who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. Ali staying with mm-hmm. us, Don and Gab joining us as well. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We're just recovering here off that extraordinary Clásico, of course. Barcelona winning by 4-0 against Real Madrid. Ali Moreno with us. Don joins us. Gab as well. We start actually away from the Clásico.
Oh.
I think we can all agree that PSG should never be a yardstick for measuring how good a team is. PSG has not won an away match against a top 7 team in the league this season. Gab, you work with Jules. Yeah, Gab.
I spent a lot of time wondering about stats like that. who cares? They're a million points ahead of the others. There's many reasons for it. It's not just because they have more money. I think it's also because this season in particular, everybody in the chasing pack, be it Marseille, be it Nice, be it Monaco, obviously Lille further behind, they've all screwed up. They haven't gotten consistency. They've been up and down. Lyon with Peter Bosz. So I think that's the main reason why they're that far ahead. They've been inconsistent, but the people behind them simply have just been up and down and continuously, you know, 1 point, drop points. Like watching Conte's Spurs late when they were winning, losing, winning, losing.
They won one. 1-1-1. 1-1-1.
You okay?
Well, they won one. Now they're going to 1-1-1-1.
But they won a second one.
Yeah, exactly. They won one.
Okay.
Not one loss, one loss, one. 1-1.
I have no idea what you just said.
Should players who blatantly dive, like Vinicius Jr., but don't receive a yellow card in-game, receive some kind of post-match punishment, to our resident diver, Mr. Alejandro Moreno?
Well, doesn't that constitute re-refereeing the match? Isn't that part of what we're trying to avoid?
Don't we want to put off that sort of behavior?
Well, okay.
It was a very naughty
dive. If you really think that that's going to divert people from embellishing or simulating, you're wrong. VAR is not doing that. The fact that we can see the replay in slow motion and somebody sitting in front of a computer can tell us, hey, what's wrong with Gab? Is that having a problem?
I love Gab. Come on, Gab.
Are you okay?
What's
you
wrong,
okay?
Gab?
Hey, every time you give me this, Dan, Gab, I know you're angry at me. So what is the problem?
Go on.
What is it?
I am not angry. I am just offering, I humbly dissent. I understand VAR cannot intervene because they're not allowed to intervene in yellow cards. However, a yellow card for simulation, in my opinion, should be treated differently. They're not going to go and do it retroactively for the reason that you said, Ali. It's considered re-refereeing, which is supposedly some massive taboo. Instead, except for the most egregious cases. But in a situation like this, where the referee is a million miles behind, he does the best he can. He can't be sure that there was a dive. He thinks it might be a non-call. We've got VAR to tell us that, you know, all right, it's not a penalty. Ter Stegen didn't get him. But you can't expect him to also be 100% certain that he dived. When you look at the video, it's very, very obvious what he's doing, pulling up, putting on the brakes like that. I think that should be a special case where the VAR can be able to tell the referee, hey, this guy deserves a yellow. Because this is not something that we need in the game. You know, from there, I mean, if I'm Ancelotti, I would go and, like, pinning him to the wall and being like, are you really telling me, Vinicius, you're not confident enough to be able to beat, you know, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen one-on-one from there? Why are we playing you? If that's not the case.
So, if I'm Ancelotti...
For me, that's the most worrying thing.
If I'm Ancelotti, the most worrying thing for me in pinning Vinicius to the wall would be, why was your first touch so poor going in a 1v1 situation against Ter Stegen? Not the fact that he's trying to draw a penalty. Here's the thing. He recognized that his touch got away from him and he said, well, I need to make a play here to make sure that I get something out of this. That's all there is to it. And that's not going to stop whether you use VAR or not on dives. That's not going to stop whether you use it retroactively or not. It's not going to stop. It is within the makeup of players. And I can tell you, if I were playing the game right now and I had a poor touch just like Vinicius did, and the only option that I had was to drag my feet to try to see if I got a penalty, I would have done exactly the same thing. And people are going to tell me, oh my God, how could you do that? Oh boy. Oh yeah, no, I can't believe that you would do that.
You know,
oh, this
difference
is so beyond the honesty and the fair play of the game. You can keep that to yourself. I'll keep playing the game the way I want to.
Ali, I can fully believe that you might have had a bad first touch, like Vinicius, occasionally, maybe even more often than him. However, I imagine that if you're going to do that, if you're going to dive and try to salvage something, you're going to be closer than Ter Stegen and make sure that you make contact with him so you don't look like a Muppet falling over when you're a meter away from him.
Well, so now
that's the difference.
So now what we're arguing is that Vinicius is a bad diver, not the fact that he dove. Mm-hmm. And that's a different conversation altogether. He can come over to my camp and we'll teach him correctly how to do it.
Don, where do you stand on a special yellow VAR, yellow diving card?
Yes, I say VAR gets involved and you get a 1 minute sin bin.
I'd rather keep talking to Gab about this than this nonsense.
What is a 1 minute sin bin? Blimey, heck, Don.
Get him in a sin bin for a minute.
That makes no difference to my children. Hey. It's not going to make any difference if Anisha's junior.
sin bin.
For Marcotti, I'm putting Don in a sin bin for 60 seconds.
Yeah, Hazard or more.
Is not even a sub option for Madrid anymore. Is it just being bad? Is it Ancelotti not trusting him? Or something deeper than what meets the eye?
I know Carlo Ancelotti pretty well after 25 years. We're that old. If he thought that Hazard could contribute, he would give him space, you know, maybe off the bench or whatever. He clearly doesn't think that he's right. And Carlo Ancelotti is not a man who ever holds grudges or anything like that. He hasn't written him off because he's got more years in his contract either. He would love to play him if he could. It's just simply, evidently, he doesn't think that he's physically right to be able to contribute. And he feels that, you know, he's got other options, even in a game like this, whether it's Asensio or Mariano, or he had Luka Jovic in there too, you know, on the bench as well. I think that's what tells you, that he'd rather have a fit Mariano than whatever Hazard might offer right now.
What would surprise us within your WhatsApp exchanges with Carlo Ancelotti, Cam?
What would surprise you?
Well, with the content of the conversation, maybe we'd think one thing. Oh, there's Carlo Ancelotti sending a meme, I don't know, of Vinicius Jr. sat in timeout.
Sin bin.
I could tell you the obvious things. If you want it, he loves to talk about football. He gets excited about it.
Yeah,
and
that's
he also
boring.
loves to talk about food as well. Any big secret there.
Does he send you pictures of well-done steaks?
Yes!
And pineapple on pizza?
Yes!
Just to show you. His eyebrow gets really excited when he does that. That's because I have his head. Right. Don, with Aubameyang's form at Barcelona, are Arsenal regretting selling him? Or has Xavi found the way to get the very best of him? He could never be found on the six-yard box in an Arsenal jersey under Arteta.
Do you know, Dan, I was on the show a couple of days ago and I was listening to all the chat about El Clasico. And I was thinking to myself, because I'd done the game against Galatasaray in Turkey, and Aubameyang had an absolute stinker. He scored a tap-in from a yard, but his general hold-up play was awful. It was abysmal. Kept bouncing off him. And I was listening to all the chat, and I was listening. I'm thinking, if someone comes to me now with a prediction for the Clasico, I would say Barca have got absolutely no chance of beating Real Madrid. And then I watched it tonight, and I thought, thank goodness no one come to me for a prediction.
Oh, Don. Fair play for the honesty, though. That's why Don never dove. Is Barcelona the team to win La Liga next season, Ali? Would they have won it this season if they had all the players they signed during the winter transfer window at the beginning of the season?
Well, it's a lot of ifs there.
Ooh, but yeah, if you got Xavi and you got those players.
Right. And obviously you've had a full year then of working with this player, so you assume that this is only going to get better if you're Xavi and these players. What I would say is that Real Madrid seem to be trending in the wrong direction. Barcelona is coming up, and they seem to be meeting at this point where we saw today, where you're seeing some signs from Real Madrid that are worrying. The lack of athleticism to the midfield, and I love that midfield from Real Madrid, and I've defended that midfield from Real Madrid, but man, they could not get close to Barcelona today. They could not play with the same sort of intensity. Defensively, there were issues. In the attack, there were issues. I'm going to say that if Xavi had the same group of players he has now from the very beginning of the season, they would have won La Liga.
How miserable is Messi, Don?
Messi?
Yeah.
Ah, he looks ridiculously miserable. I mean, he's just nowhere near the levels, is he? And that's horrible to say.
No, but I don't think you heard me, Don. No, how is he feeling? He sat there out of the Champions League, lost against Monaco. I know you're sitting on a lot of money. Mm. Watching Barcelona do that, the excitement of the Clasico, he's sat there going,
Dan, Do you know, Dan, I listened to Aubameyang when he signed for Barca and he got asked about Arsenal and I'm paraphrasing, but he more or less said, he said, I've took a massive pay cut to play for Barcelona. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I reckon off the record, if you said to Messi, you can go back to Barcelona and you'll be on, you know, I'll use this sort of...
10 quid a week.
You know, ten quid a week. And you go and play for Barcelona because you've earned millions and millions out of the game. But you'll play for the club that you absolutely adore and the fans adore you. I bet you consider it.
Dani Alves said that, didn't he? In that interview with Martin Einstein, he's saying, you know, that's where he came back, he forced the move. And he would hope that maybe Lionel Messi could do the same in the future. It's back to Gab's boy.
Excuse me. You okay?
Yeah, it's been a long day. Is Carlo Ancelotti at Real Madrid next season, Gab?
Text him.
Yeah, exactly. FaceTime now.
They had a 10-point margin going into this game. 10 points, right? I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know where Paris Saint-Germain are, but certainly in the top four leagues, nobody has such a big gap this season, right? This after the sort of summer where, you know, again, they didn't necessarily really spend on the squad other than Alaba, who was on a free transfer in Camavinga, and they lost Ramos and whatnot, and with a bunch of players who are there as passengers because they're waiting for their contracts to wind down. They're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, where they're playing Chelsea, a team that has effectively been sequestered because of the sanctions against their owners. I don't think Real Madrid are going to make any decision on Carlo Ancelotti until the summer, nor should they. I disagree with what Ali said earlier that you know, Barcelona would have won the league if everybody had been there. You know, if my aunt had wheels, she'd be a bicycle. The reality is, they lost this, and I think it's Ancelotti's fault that they lost it because he chose the completely wrong formation. Benzema's not there, so rather than playing the same way with a worse center forward than Benzema, I'm going to try and be clever and come up with something with Modric and Kroos further forward and whatever, and it blew up in his face. So that's on him. But from there to, you know, deciding that he needs to go because He lost a Clásico at home 4-0. No, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think we're at that stage.
Yeah, Ali, I don't know why you want him sacked.
First of all, I didn't say that. Second of all, I'm only answering the question that you asked.
I'm only doing my job.
But apparently Gab doesn't want me to do my job.
No, well, you bring up Gab's auntie and it just all goes.
No, he brought his auntie by himself. I didn't bring his auntie at all. All I'm suggesting is that if indeed you had the same group of players and seen what we're seeing from that group of players.
Yes, we know, right. Should PSG look to sign Dembele, Ali?
You love Gab, don't you?
He's been in good form recently.
You know, just bring Gab to do the show.
Don't sulk now, Ali. Come on, we've had a lovely day. Let's not ruin it now because we're all tired. Should PSG look to sign Dembele? He's been in good form recently when he's played and they'll need a winger if and when Mbappe leaves.
I have an idea. The Ali and Jules podcast. That's it. And then Gab can come over here. It'll be great for everybody.
Wow.
That's it. I'm done with you.
Dembele, PSG?
I'm done with you just like I'm done with PSG. Gab just mentioned that PSG should focus on bringing players through, right? And, man, if there was a player that if you're PSG, you stay away from, given what we have seen from him and the totality of his work at Barcelona, not the last 3 weeks, but the totality of his work at Barcelona, you stay away from Dembele, because that's throwing money at a player that has a history of injuries and a history of inconsistency, which you already have at PSG.
Ali, you said that Real Madrid were going to win the Champions League. Do you still think they can do that?
Sometimes. I think people don't listen.
No, he didn't say that. Huh? Ali, after the Madrid performance, do you still think Real Madrid can win the Champions League?
Okay, sometimes people just don't listen. All I said that for you, because you are a Real Madrid fan, I would, and everybody had said all the teams that you would expect, I said, why not? Real Madrid. That's all I said.
Yeah. Okay.
So what is your question now?
That was the question. Can they win the Champions League, Real Madrid?
Not playing like this, no.
You.
Nope.
Still Southampton with that big upset, just as you predicted against Manchester City today, Don.
Well, for 45 minutes, I've got to correct that. What am I facing the second half?
If my aunt had wheels.
What is the saying? If my aunt had, should be a bicycle?
Should be a bicycle, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
There's a more graphic description that we can't use.
Oh, for okay. One. All right.
Final one. We know that Dan's favourite dessert is unburnt creme brulee. I do like creme brulee without the brulee. Mm. What is everybody else's? Oh, this is going to be an eclectic mix, most definitely. Don, your favourite dessert?
Tiramisu.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I love it.
I don't like coffee.
That or banoffee pie.
Huh? Don't like
that
coffee.
Or banoffee pie.
Banoffee pie?
Yeah.
A what?
Banoffee pie.
Okay, you have
it's
got to.
It's a banana and coffee, hence banoffee.
Okay.
Pie.
All right. Okay, I get it now. I didn't know that.
There you are.
Yeah, I learned something today.
There you are. Beautiful. Uh-huh. Gab, your favorite dessert?
First of all, I like banoffee pie too. It's not banana. It's not banana and coffee, Dan. You should know this.
What is it?
It's banana and toffee. Banana and toffee. Yes, that's what it's called.
Yes,
banoffee.
My mistake. It's my mistake. I got tiramisu. Yeah.
Like I was going to balance out Don by choosing some nice English dessert, since he was nice enough to choose an Italian one.
Yes.
Might have gone with Eaten Mess or Spotted
like
Dick or
yeah.
You know, some
no.
other.
No.
Yes, but no. I on a weekend where Italy's rugby team won their first Six Nations game after, I think, 35 consecutive defeats by beating Wales with a last-minute try, I'm going to fly the flag. I'm just going to go out and say tiramisu again.
Mm. Oh.
Yes!
What are you saying yes for, Don?
As if
because
he's winning
amazing.
Something.
What? That's amazing.
You didn't
that
even know
what
was in banoffee pie.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was coffee as well. What about an Irish coffee?
Irish coffee's not a dessert.
What? Yeah, it can be. Don't have the dessert.
Can't.
Mm. Tiramisu's the winner. Tiramisu's the winner.
My grandmother's key lime pie.
Oh, yes.
And that is some sort of delicious.
You were saying it's so much better than your wife's efforts.
Dan, I love my wife with all my heart. I am passionate about the love that I have for my wife.
Just not a key lime pie.
But my grandmother's key lime pie.
I tell you what, banana split as well. I love a banana split. Fantastic. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I'm hungry now. That is it. We are done. I tell you, a little bit calm now over the next few days. Of course, the international break. Hey, we're still going to be here. A lot more fallout, I imagine, from what we saw in El Clasico. Plus, we'll start looking ahead to some of those World Cup qualifiers.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.